G'day listeners, it's your host Matt here, and I'd like to welcome you all to another episode of the Revel Brewing Show. For those of you tuning in for the very first time, we're coming to you from Bulimba in Brisbane, Australia, and we discuss all aspects of the culture that encapsulates independent craft beer. We're very grateful to work with amazing people that help to elevate our brand. One of the most integral people in that area is our designer, Matt Vigottis. Ferg is an industry-leading corporate identity specialist who's been with us since day one. In this episode, we discuss our core rebrand, the move to printed cans, and 16 can cases. Without further ado, roll the intro.
Bit of Dutch courage.
Everyone have a beer.
Yeah,
up to 8 beers each.
We're well oiled.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Revel Brewing Show. I'm your host Matt Fay, and I'm bringing to you another episode here where we're going to have a talk about all the branding and all the cool stuff that we've done here at Revel. To my right, we've got Jay, our founder.
G'day everyone.
And we've got our head brewer, Matty Cuthbert.
Good to be here, team.
And after about 2 years break, one of our very first guests on the show, we've got Matt Vigottis, our legendary designer.
Cheers, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on, Verg. Mate, it's been quite a journey as we've been using you to create all these amazing artifacts and stuff. So thanks for coming on again. Really appreciate you giving up your time.
No worries.
Awesome. Well, let's dive straight into it. I guess, you've been involved with the Revel brand right from the start. It's been quite a journey from, the very first time you guys would have traded some emails and stuff. And
how
said,
long
hey,
ago was that?
That would have been early 2017 that all kicked off.
Jeez.
You. Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a real
lot. Lots happened.
A few times.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's some time. It's a massive journey, and the brand's really evolved. And it's been great to have you along to guide us through that visual component of that.
Yeah, look, it has evolved, but it's still kept that core sort of element. It's all been about that spark, and we've stayed true to it. And there's been quite a few things that have sort of evolved, but it's kind of kept that consistent sort of, that feel that we were, going for right from the start, which I'm really happy about because, sometimes you can stray too far, as things evolve. It just goes to show that we started off right, I think.
I think it's important to acknowledge what that spark is, though. That's why I think it stood the test of time, because it's a spark of passion, for what we do, whether it's creating the brand or pushing the brand or creating the beer for the brand.
Yeah.
It's authentic.
Yeah, and that's exactly how it was the day we designed it. So, and hopefully stays that way.
Yeah, I'd hate to have to redesign it again.
Yeah.
We've already done that once.
No more lawsuits on their way.
Oh, well. I think that's another conversation.
I think we covered that one in the first time.
No lawsuit conversations this time. This is the fun one. This is the fun one.
Yeah, let's not get too deep.
Yeah. No, it's good. I love working with this brand, and yeah, there's been a lot since that first podcast 2 years ago. Some of the projects have been bubbling away in the background. Took a while to sort of come to light with River Makers, obviously, launching, and the core range that moving away from the stickers to the core range cans. But and all the limited release beers that we've been doing. You've been busy, Matt.
Yes. It's been a big year.
Yeah. I mean, and with every one of those limited release beers, we've had to create and design a personality to, reflect the beer that's in the can. So that's been a big job.
Oh, I think at times actually making the beer is easier or less work than a design process. So our design, the way we go about it, I think I mentioned this on our little Beer with a Brewer podcast, how far we've come.
Yeah.
Originally it was sort of Jay and I back and forward, and then would bring you in, would go back and forward. So I've tried to tighten that up a fair bit. We now dedicate at least an hour per week to actually attempt to do it properly. There is still a lot of back and forward, but I think it has got a lot better.
Yeah.
And I think it shows in the designs themselves and, I guess, the maturity of what we're doing, how far it has come.
Look, sometimes we nail it really quickly. Sometimes there's a little bit of back and forth.
Yeah.
You know?
Ferg, in a few words, what's it like going through the Revel design process?
I'm sure he's got a few words. Hey,
do you really want to ask me that question? It depends on who's involved. I'm not saying anymore. I'm happy to keep working for you guys. No, it's good. Like, I mean, you've got to be, like, passionate about what you're producing, and when that happens, everything's got to be perfect. And I'm always here to make that perfect. Like, and sometimes I'll present something and we'll go around in circles a little bit, or we'll love certain stuff, but it's not quite right. And I appreciate that that's just part of the process. So if we're not like nailing it and you're not getting that like full on, this is it, then we just work through it until we end up getting it. And we've always done that. And yeah, sometimes it takes a little while. Sometimes it happens really quickly.
And you're, I think a cool thing working with you, Virg, is that it's cool to do that. Push and pull, and that kind of like a rope around where we find the balance of, you know, the creative design with the brief.
Yeah.
It's never abrasive. It's all feedback is welcome. There's very little ego in it. It's kind of like, we're equally contributing as a team to a good outcome.
And that's how I
it's
work.
A bit hard to get there. You know, it takes a bit longer than others, as you said. But I think the outcome is always really solid.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. Cheers. No, well, look, and that's how I work. I mean, I want my clients to love what they've got. You know, I want it to reflect the company that, you know, they're passionate about, that, you know, the beer that you're passionate about making. You know, I don't want my clients to ever settle for sort of, you know, second rate designs just because we've gone through an iteration process that hasn't quite resolved after a few goes, you know? So, I mean,
when we say these things take time, sometimes they take time, right? Like how long did we spend doing the core rebrand?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I guess it's helpful to let people understand there's more than just one person involved in this. Like, you know, there's a lot of people, and when there's a lot of people, like, you know, six people can love it, two people might not, you know, and it's trying to find that balance of, you know, sometimes you can never make everyone happy, but like we try and get there. But with the core, like, okay, so when we started the core range redesign, so we're moving away from the stickers. And the stickers served a purpose for a while, but as the company evolves and you can afford to print more cans for each different core range beer, it makes sense to move away from the stickers. So it was an opportunity to, I guess, refresh the brand. And I came up, and that gave me the opportunity to leave no stones unturned and go, okay, well, we could take it in this direction or we could take it in that direction. But we ended up coming back to something that really respected the sticker system at the start. So it wasn't too far away from it.
Yeah.
And so we just had the color band down the bottom, which is where the sticker originally went. So if you can see here, you know, it was like this, and then you had the color for each core range, and then there was a band of color. But then I think after that, I mean, we made some other tweaks, like the logo was bigger and there was a few modifications. We lost a couple of the artifacts and made it more about the spark.
What really puzzled me is when you came back and said, look, one of the main things I want to do with this brand refresh is get rid of this weird little Revel.
Oh, don't you start.
Chicken scratching up. I said, you know, I really love that. I don't understand why you want to get rid of it now.
I reckon if we put that to the public vote, a lot of people would come back and say, that's great, mate.
They
would
look, I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah,
well, no, you know.
No, but that was cool. I dug my heels so hard on that because I'm attached to that because I do a lot of lettering and calligraphy style stuff. And
all from, just to give everyone a bit of an insight, is that everything you do with that is hand-drawn.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And it's all created uniquely as a class font and a style. So it's something that there's a lot of time and attention that goes into creating.
Yeah,
that.
I mean, look, right down to the font that's used on this, and I can call it a font because I made it a font. An interesting fact is I do work for Spotify as well. And that font is an adaptation of a font that I created for Viva Latino, which was a typeface at that point in time that would pop up on their video content for, yeah. So interesting fact
about
that
every
font.
Day,
yeah, you didn't know that.
I did not.
I just dropped that
yeah, that's good.
On you. Are you happy with that? That's cool. So that actually is, you know, hand, well, not, you know, I would have illustrated it first and then digitalized it and all of that. So it's not just, you know, a stock font that someone, you know, that I download and just use across there. So
I did feel bad slightly for a while when we removed it, but it was a fleeting moment.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So back to that, the little what Jay affectionately calls the chicken scratching logo. I originally designed a logo for you guys when I was coming up with Revel that was a lettering style and it was all smooth and curvy, and I just thought to myself, and I never showed Jay it. I showed you down the track, like 3 or 4 years down the track, say this was something that I nearly showed and presented to you.
Pretty cool.
And I put a lot of time into that, but then I just thought I'm resting on my skill set, that like my go-to skill set for that. This isn't Revel. Revel needs to be something else. Revel needs to not lean on that I have done for some other breweries as well. So we came up with the Spark and it's all been perfect for that. But I thought to myself, I'm not going to make that, you know, just a wasted, you know, asset that I've created. I'm going to get rid of all the curves and I'm going to make it all straight edge so it almost looks like it's lettering that's electric.
Yep.
Lettering, but turns out he doesn't like it. But
there's a really good shirt.
Yeah,
you did a render on a shirt which looked really rad. I was like, yeah, that's cool.
I think it would work well as just.
You might
like,
revisit it.
Yeah, there you
might
go.
Might cool as a tattoo, mate.
I think do you have any space left?
Yeah. So look,
can I rent a space on the brewer's shoulder?
Hey, I'm going to crack this, guys.
Let's do it.
I was sort of waiting for permission, but this is still going to be that guy.
It's a bit of a cheers, guys. It's to the to cheers. The foundations of our canning and the stickers.
Yeah. Ah, delicious. Beautiful. But the reason why I was mentioning all that, so we lost a few artifacts from the can
when
we were redesigning the core range. So it was to, like, so we went in a few different directions and we liked a couple and, you know, but then we sort of kept coming back to being more authentic to what the can currently is, but just as a printed version. There's on a the whole can.
Yeah.
And then I think it was your suggestion. You said, what about a gradient?
Hmm.
And
I think that was referred to as the sick fade.
That was when we were going through the dope fade.
Yeah, that was how he referred to that iteration. We're all in favour of the dope fade.
And, and somewhere a whole bunch of engineers out at Visi Packaging just fell over.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It's like they had that sixth or seventh sense where they're like, oh, what's wrong?
Gonna change.
I don't know yet.
And then, but it's then coming.
So that was a really challenging thing to do. And for people that just look at a can, they must think, it's just a gradient, it's just a fade. But doing it on a can, printing on a can, and just the way that printing process whole works, it's not that easy because cans are silver. And where you see white on a can, that's not a white can, it's still a silver can. That's a colour that's laid down. And if I'm getting this correct, you know, the substrate being the silver, you can't have colours overlapping each other. So you have to have a small little gap in between each plate, each different colour. So when you've got
the silver lining,
a gradient, okay, and there's spot colours, it's not like CMYK, this is going to go over a lot of people's heads, but it's not like CMYK where you just make a gradient, you print it, and it's printed in four colours. That gradient is just one colour and it's slowly faded out by a series of dots that are big and they get smaller and smaller. But that problem of the two colours not allowing to be overprinted and having a gap makes it tricky with all these little dots and the little gap and then the white that's around it and all of that. So it's kind of, challenging. But we got there. It was when we were approaching the Sunset Haze that we really were testing Visi.
I think we got there three or four times.
Yeah.
We had three or four different designs for the circular dots and how they would transition between colours. And we actually got to Visi, which is the large packaging group that do the printed cans. And the feedback that they gave us made us have to change it again. So three times until we finally got it close to being right.
So every single one of those dots that fades was manually created.
Yeah.
So I had to create a series of dots going upwards and get it at the right distance and then duplicate it sideways just to get that that perfect sort of fade. And obviously choosing the colours for each core range affected how that gradient sort of looked on the can.
And to give an indication of what goes on at Visi, those, basically this it's a mechanical print. It's not a digital print. So there's actually a cloth that gets a light spray of colour that goes over and overlays the can in white, and then the next colour and the next colour and the next colour. So if that cloth is slightly out by, you know, a herring's whisker, those little dots will bleed into each other.
Yeah.
So when we're out there doing the print, we're actually fixing it on the fly and changing the colours and moving things around slightly to get the mechanical print to where it needed to be.
Yeah.
And to say that we probably pushed the boundaries of that mechanical printing process is not a long boat at all.
It was quite a long day, if I recall.
It was.
I don't think we got all the done in that day either.
Yeah. No, there's still a couple that are coming out.
Yeah. So. And that was interesting there, being there on the day. Like, some people might not realise, like, so you've gone and taken on what I would consider to be like quite a large project. Like, we've got our limiteds, which we do. I mean, we've got some series here, which we'll talk about later. But we're not talking about, oh, that looks good, that's what the beer's meant to say, yep, cool, and we just go tick, 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 get some labels printed off, and Bob's your uncle. Wouldn't say it's that easy. But in terms of actually then, you've gone out and you've had to think about so many things, right? You had to think about, what does this can look like in the fridge? Can this be consistent? Is it who we are? Is it where we're... Because we're also making a real big commitment to print those cans from a financial point
of
view. So you want to know that everything that you put into that design epitomises our brand and that people are going to pick it up and it's all going to make sense. And it's no wonder that took a lot of time. But then we even get there on printing day after all of that's done and we're still tweaking. Like, I can remember, especially with the sunset haze, I think we're all like, yeah, it looks pretty good. And then I just stood back and I just went, I can't see that.
Yeah,
I can't see the writing from 5 metres away.
Which is not good on canning day.
No, no. Like, I can't imagine what this sort of looks like in the fridge. So, it's quite – I just think it's interesting for people to know that it's not so much just like, oh, that's our favourite design. That looks great. Like, go with that one. There's so many other things to think about along the way.
I was so nervous. I've never been more nervous about canning day than what I was with this one, just because of the gradient. Just the simple fact that it was a gradient and the restrictions that, you know, that style of printing has. And, I mean, I'm stoked with how they turned out, but leading right up to that, right up to it, I was giving Jay lots of, like, little... You sure we want to do this? You don't want to go back to, you know, there were opportunities.
Oh, we were at one point our fallback plan was to go back to just that thick wrap.
Yeah, exactly.
Hard print. And we honestly didn't know until probably 6:30 p.m. after being there for nearly 12 hours at Visi that it was actually going to work.
Yeah.
And it all came down to the sunset. Because if you look at the DNA of the original cans, it's echoed in the new cans, and that fade is consistent.
Yeah.
but to put it into a scale, this project took 18 months.
Yeah.
18 months from start to finish, maybe even
is that right? Is that how? Yeah, it feels.
And it all
like
it came down to a lot of technicality, as we've been talking about. But there's also a gut feel. There's a gut feel about the brand, and it just didn't sit right with some of the iterations that we were doing. And when I got that final, yes, this feels right, we then took it to Visi and spent 12 hours. And another scale to give you is that Visi, they're a very big plant and they do millions of cans per week. They're a 24-hour, seven-day, you know, operation. And to stop to do 30, 60, 90,000 cans for us in a day and get it right, which probably should have taken 4 hours, took 12, it backlogged their production line because they're used to doing millions per week. So it's a very big thing for them.
Yeah.
It's a really big thing for us and for the engineers at Visi that have to get that cloth at the right angle every single time. Every iteration after this is almost, it's got to be perfect, otherwise you'll get blur.
It's next level.
So it is next level.
The operation there.
And credit to them for
They're amazing. Yeah. Elko and the guys out there, they're very, very patient.
Yeah.
I think at one point we heard someone screaming when we wanted to go back on the fade.
Yeah.
But beautiful things happened on the day, and I don't know if you can see it in the camera, but there's only three colours utilised in the sunset haze. But because of the way that Virga's designed the dot artwork, you actually get two other colours there. You get this optical illusion of an orange and a purple due to the blend of the yellow and the red hue and the red and the blue, which is really magnificent. And that was a big surprise for all of us on the day. We were like...
We were surprised. Yeah, we were really happy when that one came out because we were expecting it to look like really bad.
Yeah.
It was just that legibility of the sunset haze that, you know, they just upped the white and deepened the yellow and that then made it pop. So you can read it now. I mean, there's still a couple of things. We're probably going to relook at the colour of the IPA, just maybe go back to that original IPA colour.
More pinky kind of hot.
Yeah,
colour.
And that will then make that gradient even smoother again.
If you see the transition on the pale ale and the XPA, they're very, very nice, elegant transitions. Yeah. And that's because of the colour of the Pantone orange and the that green. And then if you observe the IPA, just the colour alone creates more of a hard band transition, which is quite interesting to see. Yeah. We didn't know that until we got it on print, right?
But no, that was one of those projects that was bubbling away in the background for 18 months. Jeez.
You two haven't aged at all in that time.
No. That could be one of many things.
But I think it was nice having, we pretty much had the entire team there on print day.
Yeah, it was a good day.
Yourself and Maddie, everyone was kind of there, and seeing all of that come together in one day was really lovely.
Yeah.
And voila. And we've got, through the magic of editing, this was here all the time, we've got our new 16 can cases here. I've been seeing these little matchbox type little arts and crafts things sitting around the office for about the past 3 months. I've been wondering what
are these?
And they've been the little mock-ups for these cases. So do you want to tell me a little bit about designing these bad boys?
Oh, God. If there's one thing that's worse than designing gradients, it's doing cartons. Cartons have more restrictions around printing than what cans do. And just because of that whole overlapping of colours, and you have to have a bigger sort of separation from those colours. So you can see there on the sunset haze where the yellow is, there's a white sort of outline. That's not because there's a key line around the word sunset haze. It's because those colours can't butt up against each other. So we decided to focus on just doing single colour because it cuts out all of that, and we focus on that core range colour instead. Obviously for the haze, it wasn't possible to do a gradient. It looked like a dog's breakfast.
I think we iterated on that quite a lot.
I probably spent a couple of days trying to make it work.
Yeah.
It just didn't. And in the end, we just went, let's just do three bands of colour.
I think you said a few four-letter words when I asked you to go to a solid colour.
Yeah. I think because I suggested that. No, that's right. Yeah. You're right.
Maybe I was the one that suggested it.
Yeah, no, you did.
Beginning.
You did suggest it. I tried to make it work, but it didn't. But look.
It looks good.
It looks really good now. And it represents the three colours of the haze. But look, I think having the single colours sort of, you know, come to the forefront for it. And,
it represents the brand.
Yeah, and you've got the
Rebel
Spark.
In a really consistent way. And you couldn't fade, obviously, as we just talked about. But, you know, getting behind these, you see the solid orange pale ale, it's reflective of, okay, that's the Rebel pale ale. And I think it cuts through. And that's what it's all about now, is how do you cut through the noise and get your brand represented, you know, in the forefront of everyone's mind.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've been talking about 16 packs as opposed to 24s, because I think we all know craft beer is a little bit more expensive, particularly for boutique brewers like us that do indie craft at a small scale. It's very expensive to make it. So the price is premium, but the quality of the product is superior. So going from 24s to 16s just makes it a little bit more of an attractive price point for people, and they can kind of take it home, throw it on the shoulder. It's a bit easier to move around as well.
Yeah.
And it's a trend in the industry, really.
Yeah. Now, that was a bit of back and forth with these ones, but again, we got there in the end. And
the 16 box does fit a little bit more conveniently on the back of the postie as well.
Yeah.
The 24 box just sort of fits, but the 16 is nice and easy.
And that's the main thing, isn't it?
So you got to take these things into mind when you're factoring it in.
So keep your eyes peeled. These will be coming out over the coming couple of months. They'll be released in stages, obviously, as the production schedule allows that to occur. It's your finest indie bottle-o and some of the bigger groups. They'll be seeing them very soon.
And it's just so easy because, you know, if you could fit one 24 over your shoulder, surely you can fit two of those 16s over your shoulder like
100%.
That. Makes sense to me.
It does. It makes sense to me right now.
G'day, listeners. It's your host, Matt, here again, and I just want to say a quick thank you for listening to this episode. We'd love to hear your feedback, so please feel free to reach out to us on our Facebook page at Revel Brewing Co. Bulimba, or send us a DM on Instagram. Our handle is at Revel Brewing Co., all one word. Again, if you like what you're hearing, remember to subscribe on your podcast player to stay in the loop. If you're from the local Brisbane area, we'd love to see you in the brewery sometime in Oxford Street, Bulimba. Until next time, remember, good people drink good beer.